Well, let's lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. You could cheer for your softball team. Why don't we cheer for Jesus just for a minute? We could cheer for the football team. Why don't we cheer for Jesus? He alone inhabits the praises of his people. He alone is worthy. Hallelujah. May God bless you. It has indeed been a joy and an honor to have been in the Western District and to have experienced the move of the Holy Ghost. The last two night services especially, to see the flow of the deep convicting power of the Holy Ghost, to watch some of you being renewed in God, others praying through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, others getting ministries and calls and focus, and others just amazing, the different depths and different phases that God does in people's lives. And I give honor for it. I want to give honor to Brother and Sister Smith and Brother and Sister Claiborne, and to all the staff, Brother and Sister Hale, and Brother and Sister Cantrell, all of you that have helped us, all of our friends that are here. And it has been so good to have it just been here. And what we were talking about today, a lot of you didn't know what we were talking about, but Brother and Sister Jones took us to the Pompano Beach, I think that's what you call it. Pismo, yeah, where am I at? Pismo. And my son had been wanting to go to the beach. I promised him we were coming to California, we'd walk on the beach. So it was Jones, and he and I walked down the beach, and Sister Grief and my wife and the baby were just sitting around talking. He went ahead of us and went under the pier, and we thought he was going there. Well, he disappeared and didn't find his mom. And as you know, there's people, pedestrians, everything walking up down, people on the pier. And for about 15 minutes, we went completely crazy. And I went to the lifeguard, and I can't help it. I passed in Louisiana. I passed through a church full of rednecks. I'm a redneck. Okay? And I was panicking. And this little skinny California soft-speaking lifeguard looks at me in this calm voice. And I'm describing to him that my son has been missing for 15 minutes. In the land of fruits and nuts. And I am explaining to him that he better help me find my boy. And he's like, sir, I said, sir, I'm fixing to come up in that shack. You better help me find my... So he gets on the walkie-talkie. My wife has ran up the stairs, up the street. She's at another one of the lifeguard places. And she's talking to the fellow, and he radios. He said, you have a little 4.5-year-old boy missing, blonde-headed. He goes through his little thing, and he said, and the father is frantic. Well, it comes back, and my wife's standing there, and she hears him say, the father is frantic. I didn't hear him say that. I thought I was being very calm. She's breaking down. She's going into hysterics. He says, well, I've got the mom over here, and she's frantic also. And what he had done, he couldn't find his mom, so he walked all the way to the very end to where he couldn't find, where there was no people. And just sit down. And started building a sandcastle. And he said, I knew that you'd come get me. And that's a message. I'm going to preach that somewhere. Father always come for you. I'm going to preach that somewhere. I'm going to preach it. But I tell you what, I didn't know I loved him so much. And we are just thankful. And as we were coming back home, needless to say, we left. And as we were coming back home, my wife said, just what might have happened if we did not know the Lord? And if he did not have the angels of the Lord to encamp around about him and having pled the blood and being raised in the truth. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. There is a beautiful thank you. Let's praise him for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised. If you have your Bibles and return to the book of Matthew. Oh, the Lord has been so rich this week. All the sessions and all of you. It's just, I love California. I want you to know that. We were in revival a long time in Modesto this year. Hallelujah. And fell in love with California. And my wife and I know we were praying about just moving here, buying a house and basing here. Because we loved it so much. until the Lord called us to pastor where we are. And I asked God, I said, God, why did you call me to the armpit of the world when I could live in an area that has beaches and mountains and four-wheeling down sand dunes and paintball across the street? The Lord puts us all in where He needs us to be. And I don't think it was the Lord, but I think it was just me kind of rationalizing, you're a redneck and you fit down there. So, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Then we'll go to the book of Mark chapter 9. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Look at your neighbor and say, ye are the salt of the world. Then Mark 9 and verse 50. Mark 9 and 50. Salt is good, but if salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves. Another translation says, make salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. I want to use that translation. Make salt in yourselves or with yourselves and have peace one with another. I want the Holy Ghost to anoint us tonight. I know you're tired. I know you played football. I know you've been through all of that. But we've got one more night left, and I don't like preaching in mausoleums and libraries. And I really don't want to have to work real hard just to get an amen out of you. And I would like to try to get a little simple thought across tonight, but this is what I've come to preach. Somebody pass the salt, please. Hey, somebody, look at your neighbor and say, somebody, pass the salt, please. Would you raise your hands one more time? Father, your word is anointed. We ask you to anoint our lips of clay. Let there be wisdom. Let there be understanding. Let there be an empowerment of the word of the Lord. Let us receive a revelation. Not just a sermon, but a message from the Lord. God, we need an end time move. We need a supernatural move, and we'll give you praise and glory and honor in the name of the Lord. Clap your hands before you're seated. Let everything that has breath praise and adore your God. Praise you, the Lord. You may be seated. That was a little story that I heard several months ago that intrigued me, of a man that went into a little country store. He was out in the middle of nowhere, and he was camping, and he ran out of salt. And I don't know about you, but I can't hardly eat anything without salt. I put salt on watermelons. I put salt on peaches. I put salt on plums. I put salt on tomatoes. I put salt on grits. I put salt on I just like salt. He ran out of salt, and there's nothing better than a good bologna sandwich with a big old tomato and mayonnaise or Miracle Whip and salt, especially if you're on a camp out. I can't wait till I get home. I'm going to have me a bologna sandwich. Nothing to do with the cooks. I love your hamburgers, but there's something about bologna sandwiches. And he went in the little country store, and he walked up to the fella, and he said, sir, do you have any salt? And the fella said, well, sure, we've got salt. And he took him down the aisle, and he walked down one aisle, and there was nothing but an entire row from the floor to the ceiling of salt. He looked at him and he said, what thing? He said, no, that's not enough. You ask if we have salt. He said, yes, we have salt. He said, come here. He took him behind the counter and where the cigarette cartons and everything should be. It was nothing but just salt, just sack after sack and carton after carton and bag after bag of just just salt. It was just salt everywhere. He looked at me and said, he was wanting to leave the store. The guy said, no, you asked me if we had any salt. He said, come with me. They walked in the back, and when he went into the storage room, it was nothing but from the ceiling to the floor, it was nothing but salt. And exasperated, all he wanted was a little salt shaker to go put on his bologna sandwich. And he looked at the fella and he said, sir, do you make salt around here? And he said, oh no, but the fella that sold me all of this, now he makes salt. What I've come to preach to you in California is, you see all this around here? We make salt. We are the salt of the earth. And we have the Holy Ghost and fire and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And yes, we make salt. We are the salt of the earth. There is something you must understand tonight. We are not ordinary social club Christians. We are not just a nominal group of people that has found some way to play good music and sing nice songs and go through a ritual of church. But we are the church of the living God. What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? When you look at me, you're seeing a walking move of God. When I walk, Jesus is walking. These are the only hands some people are ever going to feel that are going to be touched by Jesus. These are the only feet that I have to be led by the Spirit of Jesus. When some people see you, you're the only Jesus that they will ever see, and we are the salt of the earth. We cannot contain what we have in the four walls of this auditorium or this sanctuary. The greatest weakness that we have as the apostolic church is we are professional at preaching to ourselves. But somebody needs to learn how to pass the salt, please. We need to get it out of the four walls and get it into the malls, get it into the schools, get it into our friends, get it everywhere, that there is a God in heaven that can deliver you, that can save you, that can heal you, that can set you free. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. We are the salt of the earth. Would somebody help me preach right here? We need to learn how to pass the salt. Jesus' disciples were in a remote part of the Roman Empire. They had no social standing, no money, no prestige, no worldly power, no education, no influence. So from a carnal view, there was no way that they could succeed at the Great Commission that was go into all the world and preach the gospel. It seemed like his statement was paradoxical. Ye are the salt of the earth. It seemed impossible, speaking to 11 men after Judas failed him. Ye are the salt of the earth. If my gospel is going to be spread, it is going to be because of you. If somebody's going to hear about me, it's going to be because of you. Just a few good men is all that he had, but he knew that he had put something in them that the world didn't give, and the world can't take it away. I've come to preach to you, we may not be the biggest, and we may not have the largest church, and you may not have the greatest youth group, but one of you can put 1,000 to flight, and two of you can put 10,000 to flight. Ye are the salt of the earth. Don't you be intimidated by your friends at school that say, we have 500 in our youth group. We go to the movie on Friday night. We have a church dance. We do this and we do that. You don't worry about it, honey. You just keep sprinkling a little salt. Just pass the salt, somebody. Just rub on them. Just be a witness. Be a light. Be an example. Somebody said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It is a scourge when Pentecostals are the grouchiest, most unfriendly, worst dressed people in town. God didn't call you to have hair with enough oil in it to crank a bus and walk around looking like you could go bear hunting with a switch. He called you to be the salt and the light of the earth. He called you that when people saw you, they know that you had been with Jesus and they want to be like you. They are affected by you. Everything that we touch should be affected by us in a positive sense. God, help me preach right now. I'm tired of hearing that Pentecostal kids are the wildest. No, we're not, honey. We're the salt of the earth. And there's a generation that is ready to be an example to say, I've got what you need. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the Lord, you can be free. You can be loose. You can be delivered. God, help me preach. Ye are the salt of the earth. But what was far, what was back, that nearly all the rest of the things that men depended on in the days of Jesus did fail. Listen very carefully. The Roman Empire did come to an end. Plato's Academy finally died. The great library of Alexandria was burned. The legions were scattered. The schools of the Stoics and the Epicureans faded out. But that little redemptive society called Christians that Christ instituted as the divine preservative went on. We are the divine preservative. We are God left on the earth to be an example that there was a Savior. His name was Jesus. He came to save men from the earth, and He left a remnant. Oh, you're not hearing me. He left behind a testimony that I have been here. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He left behind a remnant that He really was God manifest in the flesh. He really was the Son of God. He really was the King of Kings. He really was the Lord of Lords. He left behind a preservative. He left behind a group of people. And He said, occupy until I come. God, help me preach right now. Occupy doesn't mean just to sit back and suck your thumb and pray for your four and no more. But when we won World War II, we sent occupational forces. We sent the United States forces. We joined with our allies and we occupied. That means that we drove the enemy out, that we built a barrier, and we said we not only won the territory, but we're going to keep the territory. We not only won the victory, but we're going to keep the victory. And Eisenhower, oh, you got to help me, and MacArthur, and all of these generals, they occupied the territory that the United Forces had won. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. He went to death, hell, and the grave. Said, Satan, give me the keys. I have defeated you. I have whipped upon you. You have no dominion. You have no authority. You were the prince and the power of the air. But I'm going to take your power and I'm going to give it to my church, that all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. I wish somebody would help me right here. I'm preaching about occupational forces. So Jesus went and He won. Say, He won. The devil was defeated. And He told His church, why don't you go to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. He was telling them, you go occupy. You go take over. I've already won the victory. You need to go home, walk in your unsaved parents' home and say, I've come to occupy. I have come to occupy. You need to walk in your city limits tomorrow and say, we have come to occupy. We have come to wait on the Lord. We have come to spread the enemy. We have come to prepare a place of peace. I feel a preach spirit coming in this house right now.
Occupy means live like you have the victory. The enemy is gone. You're on enemy territory, but you've won. I've come to tell you, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Paul said that we're like pilgrims and strangers in this world. I don't fit in down here. I'm from a city where the Lamb is a light. I'm from a city where there never comes a night. I've a mansion over there. You're not hearing me. I'm from a city where there's no more sickness, where there's no more pain, where there's no more depression, where there's no more heartache, where there's no more sin, where there's no more lying, where there's no more dying. But until I get over there, I think I'm going to have a little heaven down here. Until I get to the streets of that city, I think I'll occupy. I think I'll have the victory. I think I'll lay hands on the sick down here. I think I'll cast out devils down here. I think I'll have joy down here. I think I'll have peace down here. I think I'll have victory, that I'll have liberty. I wish somebody would praise Him right now. Aren't you tired of living under your privilege? You don't need Bayer aspirin. You need J-E-S-U-S. You don't need to run to a psychiatrist. You don't need Prozac and Xanax. You need the Holy Ghost and fire. And it's keeping me alive. You don't need Dr. Laura, Dr. Ruth, or anybody else. Who you need is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He can deliver you. He can set you free. He can break that chain. He can break that wall. My Lord, I know you're tired and I'm wore out, but I feel like preaching right now. Somebody needs to pass the salt. I'm tired of going into my city and feeling like it's them against me. If there's only one of you or only two of you, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I wish you'd quit being intimidated and just pass a little salt. I wish you'd quit feeling, well, our church don't have a good music program. Preacher's getting old. Our church is small. Everybody laughs at us. Don't you know that you're a city set on a hill? You are the light to that. You need to turn the light on. You need to pass a little salt. You need to go to Evangelism University. You need to get a home Bible study chart. You need to let the devil stop whipping on you and you start whipping on him. And the way you whip on him, my God help me, it's not just shouting at youth camp. It's not just shouting with the choir. But it's when you go home and nobody believes it but you. Nobody is in your school but you. Your mama's not fired up. Your daddy's not fired up. Your church isn't fired up. But you gotta make salt. You gotta make salt. You gotta make. Ye are salt in yourselves. Can I preach what I feel right now? You don't have to have a cheerleader. You don't have to have good music. You don't have to have a bass or a drum. All you have to have is the Holy Ghost and fire. And say, I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him all over. What are you doing? I'm making salt. I'm talking in tongues while I walk down the school hall. You're crazy. No, honey. I'm making a little salt in myself. My city is bland. My church is black. God help me preach right now. I know young people that make the excuse that I backslid because my church was dead. You can't have a dead church. it is not possible to have a dead church. Because to be a church, you have to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. The church is not your building. The church is not that room where the pews are. But the church is what is inside of you. And as long as you're alive, there can't be no such thing as a dead church. I may be the only one here. I may be the only one. The devil's going to condemn some of you in the next few days or weeks. He's going to make you feel that you don't fit in. Oh, nobody loves you. Your pastor don't understand you. Your mama don't understand you. Your youth leader don't understand you. There's just a few of you. You might as well go out in the world. You can either give in to that, or you can start making a little salt. You can go and say, hey Joe, hey Susie, why don't we start meeting a little early on Friday night and begin to make a little salt. Why don't we start meeting a little early on Sunday afternoon and make a little salt? Well, I'm going to preach. I got all night. And I feel like preaching. I wasn't raised in a big church. My daddy wasn't a big name preacher. Before we went to Africa, nobody knew who in the world we were. You can stay up here. I was called to preach at 14 years old. I didn't have anything but a call. I didn't have any brains. I didn't have any sense. All I knew is that something had got a hold of me. And I told my daddy, I said, I'm called to preach. He said, no, you're not called to preach. You haven't been to Bible school. You don't have a diploma. You're too young. I said, I'm telling you, God called me. And whatever God joins together, let no man put asunder. He said, well, if you're called to preach, why don't you go to the nursing home? Why don't you go to children's church? Why don't you go to the street corner? Don't wait for a pulpit. Why don't you pass a little salt? I've come to preach right now. We've got enough pulpit preachers. We've got enough imitators of T.D. Jakes. We've got enough imitators of Brother So-and-so. We have enough people that say, you may clap your hands unto the Lord. Would you shout with a voice of triumph? We've got enough people trying to imitate an original. Some of you need to get a revelation for yourself and pass a little salt. You need to get something inside you for yourself. You need to win some souls for yourself. You need to have a Bible study for yourself. Well, I'm a man of God. I went to Bible school. If you're not a soul winner, you're not called of God. Because the call of God is evangelism. The call of God is evangelism. It is always evangelism. The teacher will evangelize. The prophet will evangelize. The apostle will evangelize. The pastor will evangelize. The evangelist will reap. I wish somebody would pass the salt. He said, if you got a call of God, you prove it. I said, okay. I went and got on my FC50 Suzuki moped. Looked like an elephant riding a unicycle. My mama made me wear a yellow safety helmet. Big old safety helmet on a little moped. And I began to go to the nursing home. 14 years old, I walked in with my big print Thompson Chain Bible. And I said, I'm revivalist J.L. Suber, and I've come to have a revival in this nursing home. You say you were crazy. Maybe I was, but I was just stirring up the gift, and I was making a little salt. People say, I'm afraid of wildfire. You might as well get wild. By the time doubt has its way with you, by the time tradition has its way with you, it will calm you down a little bit. So get as wild as you can get. Get as hot as you can get. Get as fanatical as you can get. You'll calm down a little bit. I'd like to get so hot that the calmest I get is a fanatic. Oh, God, help me right now. I walked in and said, I'm evangelist down the super. I didn't know this a couple years ago. She picked up the phone, called my dad.
and said, "Pastor, there's a young man here in a yellow safety helmet with a three-piece Swedish knit suit. You know what Swedish knit is? That's material. If you run the aisles, you'll catch on fire. That's that slick, shiny stuff. I had on my vest, my suit." And she said, "Reverend Suber, I have one question. Is he normal?" He said, "I'm not sure. But just let him preach one time, and he'll either get it out of his system, or something will happen." Well, honey, that was 16, almost 17 years ago. And I'm still making salt. I said, "I'm still making salt. Somebody pass the salt." I walked in. I didn't know you're supposed to preach love. I didn't know you're supposed to sing "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." But I walked in, got a tambourine, and started singing, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. 'Cause he my..." I didn't know I was supposed to be calm. I got to singing like that. A bunch of Baptist sanctified nurses come in the back and started going, "Hey, preach it, honey. Thank you. Thank you." It was like throwing gasoline on an already lit fire. I wish some of you right now would have something explode in you that when you get home, the devil won't be able to stop it. Doubt won't be able to stop it. Discouragement won't be able to stop it. The devil won't be able to stop it. But you're going to pass the salt. Several months, they started packing the place out. Because I said, "You may not come run the aisles," but they couldn't get away from me. Those are old people going, and I'd grab the wheelchair and roll the wheelchair around the cafeteria, saying, "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee." You say you were crazy. Maybe I was crazy, but I was doing something. It was better than being on drugs. It was better than staying home. It was better than staying home listening to rock music. It was better than trying to look like Michael Jackson. It was better than trying to fit in with the world. You need to make some salt. Had one woman in there. She thought I could preach better than Billy Graham. It wasn't until years later I found out she had Alzheimer's. She didn't even remember who Billy Graham was. We had a revival in her church after I did this for several months. The nurses would come. They would come just to watch the show because I would shout and talk in tongues, lay hands. We had four people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, "But you didn't know how." No, I didn't know how, but they didn't know how either. You need to find you an audience. Why don't you go find you a gangbanger? Why don't you go find you a punk rocker? Why don't you go find somebody that don't know whether you're messing up or not and just use them as an opportunity to make a little salt? They won't know whether you know how to punctuate your words correctly. They won't know whether you're moving your hand correctly. They won't know whether you're dressed right or not. All they'll know is that you're telling them that "I know a man who can. I know a name that's above every other name. I know a God that can loose you. I know a God that can deliver you. I know a God that can set you free." It's about to blow up in here. We had a revival. My dad pastored a church before we went to Africa. It was deader than dead. They moved about four times a year. And you know what I'm talking about? They shouted about the change of every season. Somebody would make a move. I was dying. We had a revival and nobody came to the altar. Nobody would worship. The evangelist was awesome, operating the gifts of the Spirit, praying, moving the Holy Ghost. And I went to my dad and I said, "Dad, I want to bring my church here." He said, "Son, what do you mean?" I said, "The nursing home. Nobody else wants them. But if nobody will run the aisles, bless God, I'll roll them around it in Jesus' name." He kind of laughed at me and said, well, let's plan a date. We'll take the buses and we'll go pick them up. We brought 16. Some of them on rockers. Some of them on wheelchairs. Some of them too old to even know what was going on. Some of them mentally retarded. But it really didn't matter. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye. All ye. You need to quit picking who you're going to witness to. You need to quit choosing who you're going to witness to. You need to tell everybody. You need to pass a little salt on everybody. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what background they are. You need to cross cultural barrier. You need to cross political barrier. You need to cross denominational barrier and spread some salt. I can't help it. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Brother Dominguez said he was praying for me, and I feel it. Oh, Lord, I feel it. I said, he gave the altar call. I went and started rolling them down the aisles. So when he gave the altar call, Mary got out of her seat. Mary was blind from birth. She was only in her 40s. She had graduated from the Arkansas College of the Blind. There was nothing wrong with her mentally or physically except her blindness, but her family had abandoned her. And she had found herself in this state finance nursing home. She had lived her life in the confines of four walls of her bedroom. But she had heard somebody preach about a Jesus. And she walked down to the altar crying. And the altar workers went up to her and said, ma'am, what do you want? She had a little stick. She walked herself up. And she said, I want the Holy Ghost. They said, well, you'll pray. She said, I want Brother Suber to pray for me. They went and got my daddy. She said, no, not you. I want the little short fat one. You can call me a nerd if you want to. I had pimples. I didn't know how to act cool. I didn't know what clothes to wear. All I knew that something was inside me that was turning my world inside out. Somebody had preached. I'd heard them say it, that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I honestly believe that if Jesus could do it then, He can do it now. If He can do it in Ethiopia, He can do it in California. If He can do it in the Philippines, He can do it in California. If He can do it in El Salvador, He can do it in California. If He can do it in Guatemala, He can do it in California. And He can use you. I went up. I said, Mary, what do you want? She said, I want the Holy Ghost. I said, you got to repent. She said, I don't know how. I have parents that testify. I'm not making this up. You can keep calling my dad. Check this out. It's the truth. She said, I said, you got to repent. She said, I don't know how. I said, raise your hands. Tell God you're dirty, filthy, rotten, lying skunk. That was as bad as I could think of at 14 years old. Tell God you're a dirty, filthy, rotten, lying skunk. She raised her hands and said, Jesus, I'm a dirty, filthy, rotten. Got about that far and started speaking in other tongues. It wasn't what she said. It was what she meant. Her soul was hungry. Somebody needs to pass a little salt. But that wasn't the end of the story. When I got through rolling on the floor and acting like a fool, when I got through shouting and slobbering and talking in tongues all over that church, she said, Jonathan. And I went over and said, yes, Mary. She said, didn't you preach that if Jesus could give the Holy Ghost, that He could open blinded eyes? And I said, yes, ma'am, I did. I said, wait, I'll get my daddy. She said, I don't want your daddy. I want you. You preach for me. I said, but I'm only 14. I'm just a child. She said, either he's real or he's not. Lay hands on me. I said, somebody pass the salt, please. For the very first time in my life, I laid hands on a little woman. And when I moved my hands, she began to scream. I can see. I can see. I can see. I can see. Somebody pass the salt. He He's the same. He's the same. He's the same. He's the same. You don't have to wait until you get a degree. You don't have to wait until you graduate. You don't have to wait until you learn how. You just need to pass the salt to somebody.
Oh God, oh God, my Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Would you raise your hands right now, Father, in the name of Jesus? Let the depths, let the anointing, the revelatory power of the Word of God, the Word of God that is as sharp as any two-edged sword that will cut asunder the very thought, the bone and the marrow. Yes, yes. That's it. Praise Him. That's it. Let the depth, Father, let the depth of the Holy Ghost. The gift of faith is in this house right now. I said the gift of faith is in this house right now. Let me tell you a little bit about what you got in you. It's salt. Number one, salt is a preservative. Salt is a keeper of the original. If you've got some meat and you don't have a refrigerator, just roll it in some salt and hang it up in a cool place. Salt will keep the meat from ruining. It is a preservative. I've come to tell you what we've got inside us is the keeper of the original. There is nothing any different here tonight than what happened on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. There is no difference in them or us. We believe in one God. We believe that Jesus is His name. We still serve Him alone. We are the keepers of the original. We will not compromise. We will not back up. We preach the same thing now as they preached then 2,000 years ago. You feel the Holy Ghost here right now. It is a God help me preach. It is a preservative against decay. You need to learn how to make salt in your youth group. It's the only way you can keep kids from backsliding. God help me preach. Preacher, you want to keep young people in your church? Start making some salt. Sunday school teacher, you want to keep their attention? Start making some salt. Get some anointing. Get some Holy Ghost. Help me right now. Get some Holy Ghost moving. Get some Jesus name moving. We are the remnant of the original church. Say it's a keeper of the original. But number two, salt. My God, I feel it right now. Salt is an agent of change. Not only is it a preservative, it's paradoxical. Not only does it preserve, but it changes everything that it touches. You put a little bit of salt in a whole bucket of sugar and tell me what happens. You put just a little bit of salt in a big pitcher of iced tea and you tell me what happens. You put just a little salt in a horse's oats and you tell me just a little salt. Somebody said, it don't take a whole lot. Just use what you got. Yes, somebody help me right now. It don't take a whole lot of this Holy Ghost. It don't take a whole lot of this anointing. It don't take a whole lot of what I've got. It is an agent of change. It changes everything that it touches. Look at your neighbor and say, we make salt. When you leave tonight, and you go home tomorrow afternoon, everything that you touch. My God, help me. Everything you touch. Everybody you talk to, you're going to rub off a little salt. Your mama's going to tell that your attitude's changed. Your daddy's going to tell that your attitude's changed. You're going to clean your locker out. You're going to clean your bedroom out. You're going to clean your CD drawer out. You're going to get back to the original. You're going to get back to how you used to be. You're going to get back to how you were when you first found God. You're going to get back how you were when you first found your first convictions. And then not only are you going to preserve the original power that is in you, but you're going to spread it. Musicians, come. Every hand raised. The power of faith is in this place right now. I'm not going to try. I've got a whole message to preach. That's just the introduction. But we got to do what God says do. Raise your hands right now and operate in the Spirit. Open your mouth. That's it. Let it out. Ye are the salt of the earth. Somebody, begin to play softly. Here's what the Lord's telling me to do. We're going to have some demonstration here right now. Somebody's going to be healed tonight. Somebody's going to be healed. I know we've got boys and girls and we've got sections and I need you to spread out a little bit, please. Just spread back a little bit, please. Listen, spread back. If you need a change, whether it is physical or spiritual, if you're sick in your body and you have a sickness or a disease, or you have not yet been truly delivered and you need change, step back, please. Please step back. I want you to come to this front as fast as you can. If you have a sickness in your body, that's it. Come on, young man, over here. We need young men up here. If you have sickness in your body, hold on, or you need something to happen that hasn't happened yet. I'm not talking to you Pentecostal alcoholics that come to every altar call. I'm talking about those that really need to be changed. Or you have a sickness, diabetes, blood pressure, addictions, backflashes from drugs, all sort of these things. Look at them coming. We're about to see a demonstration in this place. There's healing right now. Right now. Right here. Right in here, right now, there's healing. In the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. My Lord, have mercy. That's it, young men. Raise your hand. Gift of faith. Gift of faith. Hold on. Hold on. They're praying. We're about to pray a mass prayer. It's happening. Don't get in a hurry. It's happening. But now listen, if you are here, these are those that need change and need healing. It's happening. Just let it happen. But if you're here and you feel that God is calling you to pass salt, and you've got a burden of some sort of ministry, whether it's quizzing, whether it's Bible quizzing or Bible teaching or street meetings or youth service or preaching the word or singing in the choir, some sort of ministry, raise your hand. You feel like God has put something in your spirit. I want you to crowd up to this front around these people. And we're going to let something fall on us. And the Holy Ghost is about to let a deluge of salt, a deluge of anointing. Yes! Are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready for a breakthrough? Raise your hands right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not by might, not by power, but by thy Spirit, by the anointing of the blood in the name of the Word. In Jesus' name, I curse every infirmity. I curse every affliction. I bind every sickness. I loose the gift of faith. And I pray now. And I speak the victory. I speak faith. I speak deliverance. I speak anointing. I loose the glory of the Lord. That's it. Yes, 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 yes.
It's happening right now. You'll never be the same again. That's it. Rejoice. Rejoice when it comes on you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Be thou healed. Be thou loosed. That's it. I rebuke diabetes in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every genetic or generational spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of infirmity and affliction in the name of Jesus. That's it. Raise your hands and let the anointing come. Yes! Don't stop what you're doing. You're making salt. Somebody ought to talk in tongues. Take your neighbor by the hand. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead, young man. Take your neighbor by the hand and make some salt. Serve the gift that is within you. Yes, 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 yes. Stir up the salt, stir up the gift, stir up the gift, stir up the gift. I'm not going to leave here the way that I came. I'm going to pass some salt. I'm not going to leave here the way that I came. I'm not going to live the way I've lived. I'm going to go back to the original. I'm going to go back to the original. Are you?